Welcome to Faith Out Loud Canada, sharing the Christ who cares together through practical Bible teachings. This is your host, Dan Purdy, connecting you with the pastoral staff and leadership team of the Aldergrove Adventist Church in Langley, British Columbia. Over the next 30 minutes, listen as inspirational speakers apply key Bible passages, parables, and stories to your modern life. Learn to enjoy God's never-ending love for you and to daily accept His greatest gifts. This brief time together will fill you with hope and confidence while teaching you to live your faith out loud. Today's presentation is a continuation of the third installment, It Takes So Little to Be Above Average, focused on 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. Join us now as lead pastor Dr. David Jameson begins sharing the Christ who cares together through Faith Out Loud Canada.
We've talked about the power of prayer. We've talked about five prayer busters. And now we move to the last part of the message. We want to talk about five secrets to a stronger personal prayer life. And what do you think the first one is? Shout it out. Pray. That's a secret. The first secret to a stronger personal prayer life is to pray. Ellen White, in one of her writings, she wrote, pray, 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 four times in the one sentence. Christians should be praying. Christians should be prayer warriors, people who have a personal relationship with Jesus. But you know something? We have a hard time doing it, don't we? Because we're too, what's the word? What is it? Busy. We are too busy. But God is calling us. He's saying, slow down long enough to pray, my friend. He says, do something radical if you've got to. Do something radical and change your daily routine if you need to. Set aside some regular, consistent time to pray. Don't be too busy to pray, but rather be too busy not to pray. According to a well-known axiom, in the business world, if you want to know about something, then go and ask an expert in that field, right? Well, if there is anyone who knows the science of prayer, it is none other than Jesus himself. Jesus was above average in every way, but he was especially above average in prayer. No one in history has understood prayer like Jesus. No one has ever believed in prayer more than Jesus. No one has ever practiced prayer more than Jesus did. Jesus developed this discipline of stillness before God in spite of his extremely busy schedule. Crowds of people followed him every day from the very moment that he got up and stepped out into the world. People were there. Crowds followed him daily. He preached, he taught, and he healed. He was having a hard time even finding enough time to eat or to sleep, let alone pray. But Scripture says this, notice what it says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. That leads us to our second secret for a stronger personal prayer life, and that is to pray in solitude. Kathy, come on up.
Pastor Dave wanted me to come up and share with you this morning the difference that our prayer has made in my life. This past year has been a real struggle for me. And when Pastor Dave challenged us to read the Bible 15 minutes a day daily and to pray, I took that challenge. And it has made a huge difference in my life. When I pray every day,
amen.
In the car before I get out, when we go to work together, we pray. We pray together in bed before we got out of bed.
Amen.
I pray on the way to work. I pray when I walk. I lock myself in the bathroom at work and pray. You know, and reading my Bible every day, it is awesome. And It's not a magic wand. I still have struggles. I'm the type of person that focuses on the little dot. And when I focus on the little dot, I have my struggles. And I'll tell you an answer to prayer. Thursday morning, I was focusing on the little dot. And I was reading my Bible. And I had my prayer afterwards. And I still focused on the little dot. And so I phoned my friend, Betty Lane. And she prayed with me. And I wasn't focused on the little dot anymore. I was focused on the big picture.
Amen.
And I just want to share that with you. And
that's good. That's good. Whatever you want to say. I believe there are others in the congregation who have had the same experience that Kathy has had. We challenge you to be reading the Bible and to be praying for just 15 minutes a day. You know, I was up at Camp Hope last weekend, and Dr. Willard Register got up, and he said at the end of his message, he said, "I want to challenge everyone here. Stand right now, but don't stand unless you mean it." He said, "From this moment on, I want you to stand if you are going to spend 1 hour a day with God in prayer." I didn't ask you to do that. That's a big commitment, especially when you're starting out, isn't it? But folks, we need to be spending some time praying. We need to be spending some time in solitude. Spend 10 or 15 minutes a day with Jesus, and it will make a difference in your life too. You'll be able to forget about the little dots that Kathy talked about, those little irritations, the things that come from day to day. You'll see the big picture, and Jesus will make all the difference in the world. Notice this little boy who prayed in solitude. "Of course you didn't hear me praying, Mom. I was saying them to God." The Bible says, "Be still and know that I am God." Times of stillness and solitude were crucially important to Jesus. In those times of solitude, he not only poured out his heart to God, he also earnestly listened to his Father as well. He needed his Father's comfort, direction, affirmation, and assurance. You see, God's power is available to us when we come to him in solitude, when we come when we're quiet and still before him to learn to focus and center our hearts on the big picture and on, if you're going to look at something, look at the center of it all, Jesus Christ himself, for those 10 or 15 minutes every day. That's why it's absolutely imperative for you and I to develop our own personal disciplined approach to stillness before God in prayer. First of all, we need to slow down and tell ourselves that we're not too busy, that we should be too busy not to pray, that we need to be still before God. And secondly, we need to find a place of solitude to pray. There's a third secret to personal prayer life, and it's simply this. Pray specifically when you pray. Most of our prayers are so general that we don't know whether they're going to be answered or not. We need to pray specifically. First of all, we need to pray with the letter P. Let's praise, give praise and adoration to God when we're on our knees. Secondly, we need to admit and confess our sins to God when we're on our knees praying or wherever we are praying. And thirdly, we need to bring our requests before God, but not just the simple, ordinary requests. We need to go beyond in our prayers. We need to go to the next level. We need to say, "God, what's the next step for me in developing my Christian character?" We need to say, "God, what's the next step for me, for Chandra and the kids in our family? What's the next step for me in my work, Lord? Or Lord, how do you want me to handle that dating relationship? Who do you want me to share my faith with this week, God? Who do you want me to pray for today, God?" Whatever you ask the Lord, you will be amazed at the way that he leads when you are quiet and still before him, when you are waiting to hear from him. You know what will happen? You'll be praying there, praying, praying in solitude, praying specifically, and a Bible verse will come to your mind. Or he'll guide you through your thoughts and feelings, and you'll just know that he's going to answer that prayer. You know, I've told you before, and some got it mixed up. I told you that when I saw Chandra for the first time, and this is for those who got it mixed up the last time I shared it. I said, Lord, I would like one like that. And what did he do to answer that prayer? He gave me that one. God does answer prayer. My kids were praying and Chandra was praying. They were praying that we would be able to get a piano. We couldn't afford one. We needed a piano. They were wanting to take piano lessons. We wanted it for family worship on Friday evenings. And so they were praying for a piano. They hadn't spoken to anybody about it at all. And the next day, Grandma phoned. Was it the next day? Thereabouts, somewhere like that. Was it? The next day, Grandma phones and says, you know, we're not using our piano. Would you like to have it? My kids feel, and we feel, that that was an answer to personal prayer. But there's another thing you need to do when you pray. Not only praise God and admit to God your sins and to make requests before God, but give God thanks in advance, claiming his promise, because he says in my favorite verse in the Bible again, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will do it. But pastor, how on earth do you want me to pray for 10 minutes? What would I say? That's a long time. Hey, pray for me. Hopefully, you know, that could occupy 5 minutes of your time there, right? Pray for the pastor. Pray for the school. Pray for the teachers and the students. Pray for those who are sick in the congregation. Do you know that Jeffrey Rimmer has come out of the coma? He's able to speak a few words. His whole left side, I believe it is not able to move yet, but he's watching television. He's responding. He's got a long road ahead of him. Pray for Jeffrey Rimmer. Pray for Walter Kieselbach. Pray for Denise Graham. Pray for Walter Horn. Pray, I'm sorry if I don't remember all the names, but maybe you remember them. Pray for people. You hear all kinds of stories on the news about children who go missing, about fires that burn down homes, about people who get beaten up on the streets of Langley and murdered and all kinds of things. Pray for these people. There's no problem to pray for 5 or 10 minutes. The whole world is before us. All the needs of a lost, dying world. People are on their way to the other place. Pray for them, because there is not a single prayer that is prayed to Jesus Christ that is lost, that does not go unnoticed. In the spirit of prophecy again, in Heavenly Places, in page 77, it makes this incredible statement, and maybe you haven't realized it before, but she tells us that when we pray, it is as if Jesus comes down from the throne of heaven and he kneels down with us and he puts his arm around us every time we pray, and he reaches up with his other arm to grab hold of the throne room of heaven, so that your prayer and my prayer ascends with Jesus. I call him Superman. He takes our prayers, and after we pray and say amen, he shoots right back up to the throne to bring the prayer request that you have prayed to our Heavenly Father. Friends, pray. Pray in solitude. Pray specifically. There's a fourth secret to personal prayer, and it's this: pray stubbornly. Now, some of you are saying, well, that's no problem for my husband. He shouldn't have any problem with that one. Pray stubbornly. Pray stubbornly. When you pray, be still. Be in solitude. Be specific and be stubborn. Never give up bringing your request before God. If there is a child of yours, a young adult of yours that has drifted away, do not give up. Continue to be persistent in prayer. Augustine, the great theologian of the second century, was a young man who drifted away from God, ran away from home, ran away from the church. And his mother came to one of the theologians of the day, and she was pouring out her heart. She was crying and weeping and praying. And he said, "Woman, go your way. There's not a chance," he said, "that these prayers and these tears will not be answered by the Almighty God." there's not a chance. Pray stubbornly, my friend. Never, ever give up. Help me now if you want to. Actually, no, I've got a slide here. This is another acronym. Do you know what this stands for? Push. Go to the next slide, Chantel. Pray until something happens. And I wanted to add to this. And I can maybe take credit for it. It'll be creative. When you get up in the morning, do push-ups. Pray until something happens when you get up. I've been telling those who've been baptized that the secret to Christianity is to roll out of bed on your knees. Don't let the feet hit the floor until your knees hit the floor. Roll right out of bed on your knees. It is the secret to Christianity. It really is. Do some push-ups. Do some push-ups. We need to pray. Pray in solitude. Pray specifically. Pray stubbornly. We've got a cartoon. Oh, I like this one. I'm not sure what it means, but I put it in anyway. Two cats, a mouse, and the little cat is saying to the bigger cat, "What I don't get is, if we prayed for us to get the mouse, why wouldn't God answer our prayers?" What is the mouse doing? And finally, the fifth secret is to pray with single-mindedness to the glory of God. The next slide. In this day of fast food and fax machines and internet and email, we expect instant solutions and we have narrow outcome expectations. Everything has got to fit into a box. Our prayers have got to be answered in just the way that we feel, but we must learn to be patient, learn to have faith, learn to trust in our God no matter what the outcome. And we must never be weary of waiting for God's help. We must never allow ourselves to become discouraged, double-minded, and doubtful. Don't let your faith waver. Jesus said in Luke 18 and verse 1, then he spoke a parable to them that men ought always to pray and not lose heart. We need to be single-minded in our belief in God and His unfailing promises and allow God the time to work in our lives. Next slide, Chantel, please. Back one if you can, sorry. Notice these sentences. They're powerful. Satan leads many to believe, and this is so true, I know it is true, the majority of Christians in the world actually believe this. He says, Satan leads many to believe that prayer is useless. But not a single sincere prayer is ever lost. Each has an influence for eternity. When we humbly entreat the mighty conqueror for help, the weakest believer in truth, relying firmly upon who? Upon Christ, can successfully repulse who? Satan and all of his It is unfortunate that many people really wonder if prayer works. And it's unfortunate that the devil himself has led us to be so prayerless. Friends, it's time to be above average and to begin to pray. You know something? We just need to ask Harold to help us. Harold? Who's Harold? 5-year-old little Billy sat listening to his mom and dad discussing their financial problems. What are we going to do? Dad said. I don't know. Mom shook her head with worry wrinkles on her forehead. I can't think of anyone else that we can go to help us, Dad said. There just doesn't seem to be anybody to help us. And 5-year-old little Billy said, but Mom, Dad, Harold. Harold will help us. Who's Harold, son? Do you know who Harold is, Mom? I don't know who Harold is. And Billy, getting frustrated all the more, he insisted, you know, our Father which art in heaven, Harold be thy name. My friend, how often have you and I been like Billy's mom and dad and forgotten about Harold? We've been worrying, fretting, stewing and doing just about anything other than what we should be doing, kneeling down and praying, and even God doesn't mind being called herald. If that's what it takes to help us to remember to pray. God wants to make a real difference in our lives so that we can be above average. He wants us to spend more time with Him in prayer. He wants us to ask herald. But you know what's happened in the Christian life, and it's happened in mine too. I'm not much different than you are. When we start out in our spiritual walk with God, we're like this. Why don't you put your hands out just like this, please, right now. Your right hand represents your relationship with Jesus Christ when you begin with Him. Your left hand represents all the things that you are trying to become competent in doing, from eating a bowl of spaghetti like that little girl to doing your job, working at your profession. You know what happens? When you start out with Jesus, you're on fire. And you know you need the Lord because you're a real mess, right? And so your right hand raises. Raise your right hand like this. And you're really in tune with God because you know you desperately need Him, or you don't stand a chance in hell to be saved in His kingdom because you're a sinner. But you know what happens? Time goes by, the months slip by, the years slip by, and the right hand starts to come down, and the left hand starts to go up because now you're a big boy. A big girl, you can do it yourself, you think. And you go out, you leave home, you forget to pray. You go to church, you're involved in some small group or something, so there's about an equal sense of fulfillment that you're still pretty comfortable. You feel good about yourself. I do have some sort of a relationship with God, so it's equal. But what happens to most of us is that as time goes on, the relationship with Jesus declines even more, and the left hand goes up even higher because we feel we're all right. We feel we're saved. We haven't done anything, haven't cheated on income tax, haven't shouted at too many people. I'm pretty good. But we don't realize that we are Laodicean, that we think that we're rich and increased with goods, and that we're in need of nothing, when in actuality we are poor and blind and naked. And you know something? This whole process with the hands, I'm not scared about it, and I don't think you should be either, because it is a natural process. And prayer is an unquestionably unnatural activity that is an assault on human autonomy, that is an indomitable indictment against independent living. But if you realize what's happening, you can say, wait a minute, I want my right hand. I want my relationship with Jesus Christ to be the highest priority in my life. Because when all is said and done, Jesus doesn't want us to do more for Him. There are many hours of volunteer work going on in the Alder Grove Church, but Jesus doesn't want that. He doesn't want you to do more. He wants you to be more for Him, to be more with Him. When you leave today, and some of you ladies have seen this before, but I like to use it, you're going to get a prayer rock. Everyone who wants one, the deacons will have them at the back. I hope you have them there now, gentlemen. Notice what it says. I'm your little prayer rock, and this is what I'll do. Just put me on your pillow till the day is through. Then turn back the covers and climb into bed, and whack, your little prayer rock will hit you on the head. Then you will remember as the day is through to kneel and say your prayers as you wanted to. Then when you are finished, just dump me on the floor. I'll stay there through the night to give you help once more. When you get up the next morning, if you don't put your knees out first, it says clunk, I'll stub your toe so you'll remember your morning prayers before you go. Put me back upon your pillow when your bed is made. Your clever little prayer rock will continue in your aid. Because your Heavenly Father cares and loves you so. He wants you to remember to talk to Him. You know. I want to challenge you with a bite-sized challenge. And everyone can follow these five simple steps to having a stronger personal prayer life. I'd like for you to take one of these home with you. And do what it says. Put it on the pillow. Throw it out on the floor for 7 days. That's all. This next week, spend some time reading your Bible and praying for 7 straight days. And maybe we can get to talk about it next week during Family Moments time in some way. Maybe there's someone who'll have some experience that you want to come and share. Because the most important thing, Jesus doesn't want us to do more for Him. He wants us to be more for Him, to be with Him.
What an inspirational and timely presentation from lead pastor Dr. David Jameson. We certainly hope today's message demonstrated God's powerful love for you and encouraged you to seek a deeper relationship with Him. Perhaps you're struggling with something in your life with which you need help. It could be your finances, your job, a relationship, an addiction, or something else you're concerned about. Jesus knows your heart. Won't you just give it to Him right now? Don't miss the opportunity to call on Jesus to help you. The pastoral staff and leadership team of the Aldergrove Adventist Church can help you to have a dynamic, personal relationship with God and to show you how to be of service to others in your community. Check out our free online resources at www.aldergrovesda.org or call us direct at 604-856-5830. Our popular audio-video archive is only a click away. This is your host, Dan Purdy, thanking you for sharing the Christ Who Cares Together with us. Until next time, share your faith out loud, Canada.